And now we come to the Gospel, for which that first reading about wisdom preparing a meal for us is a preparation. Now wisdom is going to feed us himself on his own body and blood. Isn't that awesome? Who would have thought of a thing like that? What kind of love would you have had to have in your heart to think, for the whole rest of world history, I'm going to feed my own and my own flesh and blood so that they will have me, the wisdom of God, in their body, in their mind, in their spirit, in their emotions. I want to be there with them. That's what this text, because now we're at that part of John, as I think I pointed out last week. See, the text goes up to this point. Our Lord has called himself the artos tis zois, the bread of life. Starting in this verse 51, all of a sudden, he starts calling himself the living bread. That's different. And now he starts talking about the physicality of his gift. Pure, immense, infinite spirit, becoming flesh among us, then feeding us with his wisdom, which is his flesh, and then with his flesh, which is his wisdom. So, it takes quite a bit of reflection to, we have to ask the Holy Spirit, and when this, when we're reading this text at Mass, listen. Because when these texts are read out, what does the Vatican II say? It is still Christ proclaiming his gospel. Now, if Christ is proclaiming his gospel, then that word can take flesh in us after the model of Mary. Not that we're going to have the, our Lord incarnate in us in the same way, but our Lord dwells in us. We take him in, and he becomes the principle of our life. Okay. So, after all that, we start now with John 6 to continue, but actually finish. We'll finish with John 6. We skip a few verses that they don't put in our reading, and just a few, and then so we move on. But how many weeks have we been with John 6 on wisdom as food? So this one goes, I am the living bread come down from heaven. I'm living bread. Well, the more our minds have become habituated to bread is wisdom and wisdom is bread and bread, we're getting it, kind of, you see. Now he's going to make it as physical as possible. No mistake. This is not just all symbolic talk about wisdom. Not with these words, you see. If anyone, see, eats of this bread, he lives forever. Wow. Body and soul lives forever. Take me into you. Okay. And the bread that I will give is my sarx, is my flesh for the life of the world. I give it on the cross in great pain, and then I give it for eternity in great joy. My flesh. I want to be part of you. I want to have you take me in even physically. As you take in the word, myself, you see, now take me in as not only as wisdom, but as Jesus. And so he says, you see, well, of course, what happens? The Jews, and this is a theme in the letter, in the chapter, chapter 6. The Jews quarreled or complained because that's what they did in the desert. And so this is a desert-like discourse, okay? The Jews quarreled among themselves saying, how can he give us his flesh to eat? They got it. This is no symbolic talk. He's talking about his flesh. Because of the words he's using, you see, and will use. Then Jesus said to them, if you do not eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life in you. Any life that matters. Yeah, you're still breathing. can still eat, walk around, talk. But life? Life is forever. That's what I'm destining for you. And so, you see, if you don't do this, you can't have this life. And then he starts, and now all of a sudden he uses a very powerful word. The one eating my flesh and drinking my blood has eternal life. And even though his body's in the ground, I will raise him up on the last day with that body. How many times have I quoted that text of St. Irenaeus, right? It is impossible for a body, a soul, who have received the word of God in flesh and have received this flesh of God and not turned from God, it's impossible that that body not be eternal, imperishable. It dies, it corrupts, but I will raise him up on the last day. That's a promise. Why? Because God didn't die to save souls. He died to save human beings. And human beings are going to live with him. And, oh, that beautiful treatise of John Paul II in Theology of the Body toward the end, where he's talking about our bodies live by the personal gift of the Trinity of himself to us. The life that keeps us alive bodily is the life of the Trinity, the fruit of the Eucharist. And so, but the word he uses now, he starts to use trogi. That means to munch. He doesn't want us, yes, I understand, Jesus. If I just ponder your word, no. I mean munch. I mean take up this bread and wine and eat it. Woo! That's not very spiritual. Well, neither are you. You have a body. You have flesh and blood. I want to be part of your flesh and blood. Can you think? You know how people say love makes people like exaggerate? Well, he exaggerates. He comes as our to be flesh and blood with us. What kind of love is that? So don't get distracted walking down the aisle to receive his body and blood. Pray, sing, do what you want. But you're gonna munch the flesh and blood of the Son of God. It's a very powerful word, you see. And the one who does that, he's already got eternal life, you see. The one eating abides in me, and I in him. Well, I'm a little ahead of myself here. See, again, ho trogon mu tin sarka, ki pinon mu toema, enemi meni, abides in me, kagoen afto, and I in him. What does that mean? What kind of mutual indwelling is that? The saints can tell us. It means I am aware of the Lord. Even when I'm in the dark night of the soul is what? It's such an abundance of life, it blinds me and pains me. That's what it's, why it looks dark. John of the Cross says, you know, he takes the image from Plato. We're like a bat flying into the sun. It's just too much light. That's the dark night. Too much for us. We have to be prepared for that. And if we can have it in this life, if the Lord leads us and has that kind of mercy on us, blessed are we. Blessed are we. Because we're eating his flesh and blood already. You see? And now this word abide. Abides in me, and I in him. Abide, that is not an innate, an immovable word, you know? It's a reality. To abide means to be present and active. That's to abide. So I abide in Christ that way because of the Holy Spirit, and he abides in me that way because of the Holy Spirit. Because it's the Holy Spirit that in the act of love in which he died changed that flesh into fire. Saint Ephrem, I bet you I've quoted this before too. Saint Ephrem says what? When you eat that bread, you eat the fire of God. It's been changed into fire. And so, as the living Father sent me, you see, sent me, and I live by the Father, from all eternity. There never was a split second when I was not, and when I was not living by the Father. His whole gift, I am His gift from all eternity. And as we return that gift to each other, the Spirit is there from all eternity. And so, can you imagine, as I live by the Father, so the one eating me, that one will live by me. What a promise. Try to imagine the fire, the delight of the love between the Father and the Son. They live by each other. The one who receives the Eucharist and opens up his heart, that one lives like that by me. We have a dance of love going on. He receives me and returns himself to me. That's the delight. And that happens, you see, the one eating me, you see, hotrogonmoi, you see, and just as the Father sent me, you see, and I live by the Father, so the one eating me, that one will live by me. Now and forever. That's why the ones who study like the mystical doctrine and the mystical lives of the saints, they'll point out the transforming union always takes place at the reception of the Eucharist. The job is done by the Eucharist. So we're not there, folks, but we could be a lot closer if we thought every time we're living our life and every time we're tempted to sin, I'm going to receive the body and blood of the Lord. And He's dying to give it. Can you hear the urgency, the desire? I want to be part of your flesh. I want just not to have this sort of yes, Lord, no, Lord. I want to be here. And I want you to know I'm there as a preparation for heaven, when by the divine Trinitarian life, even your body will live forever. And that's what He's saying, you see. This is the bread come down from heaven. Not as the fathers ate and are dead, the manna, beautiful gift. The one living this bread, will live forever. Body and soul live forever. If we don't turn from Him. And better yet, if we keep turning toward Him. Oh Lord, just change me. I told you about that lady once said to me, she said, I watched all these people. They said they found the Lord. And I said, well, Lord, if you're going to, and they're, you know, let me find you, I'd be happy. But if you're going to change me real good. What a desire that is, you see. I just don't want to be pious. I want to really know you and love you. Be a little bit nuts for you. You see, that's what I want. And that's the fruit of the Eucharist, you see. So the one eating this bread will live forever. That means we start our eternal life now. Oh boy, doesn't that mean, isn't that worth turning off the TV for? To read this text again, isn't it better than the NCAA or whatever you're watching? What's the NCAA anyway? No, that's but anything. You know, of course they're interesting. But turn it off. Pray. I was preaching the other day and I said to the people, if you were the devil and were trying to devise, I didn't say the devil, I said, if you were just going to devise something that would keep people distracted all the time and not being able to pay a lot more attention to God, what would you invent? The television. Everybody's plugged into that booth. They don't even talk to one another in the living room. They're all watching. And sometimes the stuff they're watching is awful. Violent, sex, all that stuff. Okay. So, the one eating me will live forever. Guaranteed. Amen.